Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jessica.
Welcome to Whodunit, the podcast where we make wild guesses about fake TV crimes.
Without any clues, context, or apparently accuracy. All right, let's find out.
Who was right?
Who was wrong?
And who is dead? Welcome to Whodunit. We hope you're ready for some cozy mystery nonsense on a very stormy night here in LA.
Yes, it's like Agatha Christie out there.
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh, if somebody like starts knocking at our door and like pounding at our door being like, we need to talk to the butler, then we know where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. And if one of us doesn't show up for the next section of this episode, then
we promise we will have a rakish detective.
Real mystery.
Yes. That would be incredible. Suddenly this turns into a real mystery, like true crime podcast. And like,
I think you need to write it.
Get some like French accented person to be like, now let us use our little gray cells to think about
Belgian, Jacob.
I said French accented.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
You are correct. Yes, very definitely. But I do have another question for you though. So this week, tell everybody what we're doing this week.
Well, we are doing the Madame Blanc mysteries.
Yes. Yes, we are.
French accented.
French. Another British show set in France.
Except not filmed in France.
Yes.
And not even filmed in England. This one is filmed in, well, should I just give it away right
Please,
now?
Please, sure.
Malta.
Yeah. Malta, of all places, off the coast of Sicily.
Yes.
So Malta and its neighboring island, Gonzo.
Gozo.
Gozo. Gozo, not Gonzo.
Gozo? I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's not the homeland for the Muppets is what we're learning.
I mean, we kind of pictured that. I thought there might be drawings
right.
of Gonzo, like long arms and blue felt like buried in the sands.
But no, this is just a British Madame Blanc mysteries.
Dig up plastic eyeballs. Oh, like, oh my god.
So
instead of skulls.
Yes. So the conceit of this mystery show is that Madame Blanc.
Miss Jean White.
Jean White.
Mrs. Jean White.
Mrs. Jean White. She lives in Manchester, England, very like homebody, unglamorous. But she and her husband found this town in the south of France. What's the name of it?
Yeah. See, the thing is this is kind of like a midsummer kind of situation. Everywhere you look, the show takes place in south of France. Technically, it's called Saint-Victoire, but it's a completely fictional town.
Fair enough. So it takes place. So her husband, Rory, is based in Saint-Victoire, which has the most excellent antiques in all of the south of France that nobody's heard of. It's this secret little town because, of course,
that they came across 10 years ago.
On their honeymoon.
Yes.
Anyway, so Rory stays down there.
Prior to Brexit,
yes. So Rory stays down there and looks at all the antiques and like sends pictures back to her. And she says yes to this, no to that. And then he ships things back to her.
Because she's a complete expert.
Yes.
Rory apparently doesn't know Jack about anything. But she can look at something right away or say like, well, scratch it in this way or breathe it, taste it, smell it. You'll know what it is.
Yes. So she knows exactly what's going on. Well, it turns out in the very first pilot episode is what they call them. those are called pilots, Jacob. Yes, thank you. Rory is killed because he has found, we find this out through the episode. He is killed, even though the police don't think so at first. He has found a very, very valuable ring. But it turns out when Jean White goes down to reclaim his body that he had a second wife in town and they were conning people. They were selling all kinds of fake stuff at inflated prices. So her husband was leading a double life. And now she's like the only, and also the reason she went down there is because part of this double life, he was embezzling her. So she's got no money. The only thing she has is this house in the south of France, which
yeah,
let's just pause
I don't know
for a second here.
If he was embezzling her, I feel like because he said, or she says, that's not even my signature on everything. The lawyer says, oh, we have your signature on all this stuff that you gave him all the business. But she says, that's not mine. So I just, and then there's this secret lady we see that pink gloves everywhere,
yes,
or red gloves,
who is presumably
and smoking.
Yes, presumably Rory's wife down there that everybody thought was just the real Madame Blanc.
Yeah.
But so now that woman is after the ring and after.
And we haven't seen her face so far in our watching of the show in the first season.
Only in the first season so far. So we haven't seen her yet. But anyways, all of this which to say is that it's all about antiques in the south of France. So yes. Jessica.
Yeah.
Your family has a deep and honored tradition of antiques. And like your grandparents had a little antique store that they, like shop that they would try to keep running every now and then. Mm-hmm. So which would you rather do? Mm-hmm. Would you rather that your grandparents found a ring that marked them and like someone would try to kill them for the ring? Or would you rather that you got to choose to live anywhere in the world with this antique market, but that you were marked for death?
Oh God, Jacob.
Would your grandparents appreciate that? I don't want my grandparents
as marks. That's terrible. But then I don't want myself as marks.
They would have found that amazing ring, though. They would have like fulfilled their lifelong dream of really hitting it big time with finding the thing.
Yeah. Oh shoot.
Right.
I'm not
or you get to live anywhere. All right. Well, let's just make it easy for you.
Yeah.
You haven't inherited an antique store. Mm-hmm. You don't know that you'll be marked for death, but wherever you go, you'll be marked for death. But anywhere in the world, where do you want your antique store to be?
Oh, for sure, the south of France.
Okay. See, that's why that version of the question's too easy. Yeah, south of France, Jacob. Duh. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's so impressive that they have this business. I mean, it's probably all Brexit fueled, one would think, because like, how do you deliver all this stuff? Yeah, over from the south of France. Because she says the big deal is that they would, you know, deliver, you can find all this great stuff that's just sitting around and they just ship it over to England and then, you know, get the prices for it. I mean, it's the same problem everywhere with estate sales where people just don't know what they don't have the marketplace, you know, and they're just trying to get rid of people's stuff. And so they're not going to spend a lifetime selling their family's, you know, actually, I learned the other day that there's somebody who specializes in the pantry products, like cleaning products, like vintage cleaning products. And so they just go to estate sales and that's their niche, is they just look for the stuff in the pantry and then they collect that and sell it for high prices because people are like old washing powders and old scouring brushes, or people are like, oh yeah, that's the best. That was the best formulation that they had back in the day before.
Back before you had to worry about chemicals. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Back before we knew that could kill you, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, people collect that stuff. And so that's, you know, you can make a niche. And if you know, if you do and you curate that market. So yeah, I think that's the fun thing about just this idea. I mean, come on, if that's a thing that you could do, is like find a market in a beautiful place where you find things and then you know where you would find the buyers. Oh my gosh. Now I really am talking like my grandparents and my family who are always like, well, that's $1 million idea right there.
So, okay, yes. here's less than $1 million idea for you. Let's make this interesting. I'll try one last time to make this more interesting for you. Would you move to the south of France for an antique business that dealt exclusively with bedpans?
No. And I don't see that anybody is collecting like ancient bedpans. All right. You know, like I just don't think that there's maybe like one person in the world who, or maybe five people in the world total.
You knew that you could support yourself, but you knew that your life would have to be all about ancient bedpans.
No.
No, still not worth it.
Vintage deadpans.
In these hypothetical things, you have to make hard choices, Jessica.
All right.
And you have made the hard choice that south of France, yes. South of France and bedpans, no. See, this is valuable information for our listeners. You are so... Okay. Give them some more valuable information. Tell them about the episode we're going to do.
Okay. So, yes, we said it. The log line is antiques expert moves to France, suspicious of how her husband died, and uses her skills to become a PI, aiding the local police and simultaneously bonding with the town's popular taxi driver.
Yes, which is both her Watson and her love interest.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah.
It's very sweet.
And I don't know if IMDb just hasn't gotten on top of this, but they're calling it a drama. The end.
Okay,
they're not even calling it a mystery.
Oh, you're right. Not even a mystery.
Usually there's three words.
Yeah.
And it's not even a mystery. And it's definitely cozy.
Yeah, it's definitely cozy. Even less so than others that we have seen about evidence and everything like that. This is very much a, oh, I pieced together because this rumor and this and the way you reacted to this. Like, even, it's about the same level of Father Brown in terms of, okay, I think because of this, I will rationalize it.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes there's no murder. It's just a mystery.
Yes.
That also they're true. Uncovering, which is still very interesting. Yeah. You learn a lot and see her doing technical stuff.
And Malta's gorgeous.
Yeah. Then, so this is a recent show, which is something you did not realize. But
no, I did
the
not.
The pilot premiered in 2021, and it was actually in October of 2021, and it was commissioned in January. So that was a fast turnaround in the middle of the
January
pandemic.
Oh my gosh, from January to October in 21, yeah.
Yeah. How did they even knew that they were going to get this filmed? I don't know. We're watching on Acorn. You can also, I think, catch it on Hoopla. We are watching Season 2, Episode 7, which, according to IMDb, doesn't have a name, but we'll find out.
I haven't found names anywhere on this, like Wikipedia, IMDb, anywhere. So they may not name their episodes.
Yeah, maybe. They feel like it gives too much away. But here is the log line. When Rafi Ozan is found lying dead in his own perfumery, Cooper falls under suspicion. But who was really behind the killer's clown mask?
What?
So we're going to have a perfumery and people in clown masks.
I'm all for it. I'm wondering if that's a makeup thing or something like that. Okay, great.
And what's the antique thing?
Yeah, and we should say, and so we should also explain who Cooper is. So who's Cooper?
Yeah, okay. Well, let me start with, here's an interesting thing. Another interesting thing about this show is that the co-creators and co-writers of this show are Sally Lindsay and Sue Vincent, and they are both also actors and regulars in the show. One, Sally Lindsay, plays Madame Blanc, Jean White, and Sue Vincent plays Gloria, the mechanic. So Cooper, to your question, is the love interest of Gloria, the English mechanic living in the south of France in Saint-Victoire.
Gotcha. Okay, so the love interest of the mechanic.
Yes.
And the mechanic is fun because the mechanic kind of fills in the close to the coroner role. She's the sassy friend who has like weird information, very specific weird information.
But definitely. She kind of reminds me of the Gilmore Girls mechanic, that character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both mechanics, I guess. Yeah, it's just the thing that's making it familiar, but you know, an important character that comes along and tells you some information that you needed to know.
In an interesting, fun way. Bury that exposition, people. Bury it. Bury it down deep, just like your feelings of losing all of these guesses in a row. But tell us about these people. Tell us more about these people. Tell us more about Sally.
Okay. Well, I'll say that this episode, because this is the second season, this premiered in February of 2023.
Okay.
And I think the next season is going to come out here shortly, the 2024 season. Okay, so Sally Lindsay is the lead, Madame Blanc, Jean White. She is not French. She has had various long runs on shows, but is best known for 636 episodes of Coronation Street.
That's a long run.
Yeah, and playing Shelley Unwin. And then she also did 53 episodes of Mount Pleasant, 2011 to 2017, which is where presumably she met her co-creator and co-writer, Sue Vincent. And fun fact about Sally Lindsay. She got her taste for the limelight at the age of 7 when she was in St. Winifred's Choir, which had a single which went to Top of the Pops and was number 1 on the charts for 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Called Grandma. Want to hear a little bit of this? I want to play it. No,
please do.
That's all we need.
Rest assured that will be stuck in your head for the rest of the week, as it has been in ours. We've been looking at each other and just singing about how much we love Grandma.
Grandma.
Which is in my head canon, it is a prequel to Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer.
It it's all these little girls and boys in pink.
No. Little girls in pink. Like legions of little girls in pink. Four boys.
Four. Yes.
Four boys in blue blazers. Legions of girls in pink robes.
It's so cute. It's on YouTube. Go find it now. Yes. Apparently, it knocked John Lennon out of the number one spot.
Oh,
the Christmas number one spot. Yeah.
It is oddly catchy, as I said.
Yes. Yes. But she didn't necessarily follow up with that until midway through college, it sounds like.
Mm.
She was in college and was pursuing journalism and auditioned and got a role in an amateur theatrical and then was like, hey, I think actually I want to be an actor.
Community theater. It'll be the death of
yep.
us all.
She has twin sons, Vic and Louis, with her husband, the drummer Steve White, who was in Paul Weller's band, The Style Council, and a number of other bands. He also played for The Who for a second.
And tell us why you've researched all this information.
Okay, it's so confusing because we watched the show, and I was listening to the music that's accompanying a number of these like sad montages,
right.
as we're
and
like,
the theme
oh,
song and everything.
And the theme song, yeah. And I was like, is that Sting?
It sounds so much like Sting, but it's so oddly specific that they were like, this can't be. Like, they didn't just pull a Sting song to do this, but it sounds so much like Sting. But who is it, Jessica?
Yes, it's actually a band called Haig and White, which then everywhere we were looking for, like, who is Haig and White? And who are the, you know, and then I looked at IMDb for, like, who are the composers of this theme song? And the composers are listed as Chris Haig and Joel White. And then I'm looking at the trivia section of this show and I'm looking at Wikipedia and it says, oh, the theme song, fun trivia, the theme song is composed by the lead actresses and co-writer, husband, Steve White. And they're like, ha ha ha, the show is called Madame Blanc and the actress's real husband is named Steve White. And the composer part, he's not listed. It's Joel White in like all the articles.
Right. And the duo is Haig and White.
Yeah. I've been looking this up for like a week and a half now. And I finally came across an article which explained somebody kind of like had some beef with actually the name of this band because they were like, it should actually be called White and Haig and White, or maybe Haig and the Whites, because it's actually two whites, although they're not related. Like, ah, so
which
confusing!
Which is even more confusing, yes, that there are two whites in it, they're not related, but he is, so yes, there you go. We did the long walk for you, just to let you know that the co-creator's husband wrote the song and sings the theme song. Along with Joel White in a great Sting impression. So,
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So,
we uncovered the mystery.
There you go. See?
And a guy named Chris Haig.
Which, congratulations.
Yeah.
So,
and Steve White also is related to Alan White, the drummer who played for Oasis.
No relation to Jack White
nope.
and the White Stripes.
Because they're American. And we're talking about British whites.
That's right. And as we know...
All right.
Moving on from Sally. Tell us who else we should know about.
Okay. So Sue Vincent, who plays Gloria the Mechanic, co-creator, co-writer. Her first television role was on Casualty. She's been on Shameless, obviously Mount Pleasant, where she
mm-hmm.
met and talked to co-star Sally Lindsay. She's also been on EastEnders, Coronation Street, Doctors. She's done a ton of theater and comedy, and she also writes plays for Soho Theater.
Good job, her.
Yeah, Sue's great. Then we have the Watson,
yes.
the driver, the father of a teenager.
Yes.
Played by Steve Edge. And the character is Dom Hayes. And like I said, he's a handyman, etc. Steve Edge, is an awarded stand-up comedian, comedy writer, and actor. He recently guest starred on Ted Lasso, playing a character named Simon. In
mm-hmm.
season three. He's been on Shakespeare and Hathaway, Death in Paradise, a show called Murder, They Hope, which I think we need to find.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, a show called The Cup, which is apparently riotously funny about parents behaving badly surrounding children's athletics.
Okay, so it's not about the Holy Grail.
No.
Even though they treat it like the Holy Grail.
I wonder,
right, yeah.
But no. He's also been on Happy Valley. He was on Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, Drunk History, Star Stories, in which he played The Edge and Sting. LOL. So just comes back to sting every time.
Well, for you, it certainly does. Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this is where I was like, oh, I've struck gold. I love this guy. I've known him for also, you know, kind of
yes.
in a weird way, known him. So cast your minds back.
Oh, no.
In YouTube history to a funny show called Walk on the Wild Side, where these comedians took nature documentaries mm-hmm. and then they put voiceover, comedy voiceover to animals.
Animals saying funny things. Doing never things. Gets old.
So he is a famous marmot who shouts at another marmot, he thinks, named Alan.
And I feel like you have to play this for people.
Yeah, I do. It's so great. Everybody needs to find it right now. Okay, here it is.
Alan! 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 Al!
Okay. Okay, so the audio doesn't do it complete justice. You do need to go find that video. We will also share it on the socials. But yes, Jessica found that and was giggling for... In between that and the grandma, we love you, she's been giggling for days.
I love it. Yes, yeah, so he is the voice of the marmot shouting Alan for his friend Alan. And also, just because I know we have some listeners who also watch this show, he was a program associate for 8 out of 10 Cats, which you can find in various places. And he is a friend of the creator of this Walk on the Wild Side show, who also has a podcast, Jason Manford, who his podcast is The Jason Manford Show. And Steve Edge will frequently guests on that show. So you can get some more Steve Edge and Jason Manford hilarity on that podcast.
And the final two regulars of the show are this like straight out of the 70s kind of just like they're hilarious. They're like Mr. Roper, George Hamilton with yes. like some kind of, I don't even know how to describe her. Some like boozy, floozy, ladies who lunch kind of person. Tell us who these people.
So Robin Askwith. Sorry, his name is so obvious on the page, but yet so hard to pronounce. He plays Jeremy Lloyd James, and he is, like, as far as I can tell, a famous British sex comedy actor. He, in the 60s and 70s, he was in the 70s horror films Tower of Evil and Horror Hospital, and then he was in Bless This House, Carry On Girls, oh No goodness. Sex Please, We're British, 1973, and most notably, he played Timothy Lee in the Confessions films series, which included Confessions of a Window Cleaner, Confessions of a Pop Performer, Confessions of a Driving Inspector, and Confessions of a Holiday Camp.
And confess to us where he lives now.
Okay.
He made all this money on those films in the 70s, and he bought a palace in... He did not buy
Gozo! So, yes, he lives very near Malta, and we all were like, I wonder if he actually brought them all out here,
yeah.
too.
But we couldn't find his name in the producers.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But he was interviewed this last year. Somebody made a documentary called Saucy, The Secrets of the British Sex Comedy, which I kind of want to check out because it sort of, in the description, kind of talks about sex comedies as sort of the knuckling of British the film industry to try to like pull themselves up and pull themselves out of a mire. They were kind mm-hmm. of in a downturn and they were like, well, what's the thing that we can specialize in? Well, I guess we're pretty good at the sex comedies. So.
We're all very, very embarrassed easily. So let's just, we can't talk about any feelings and we're embarrassed easily and sex is everywhere. There you go. Sex comedy done.
Yeah. Put on a silk cravat again.
But I will say his tan and his hair pretty almost steal the show.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So great. Then we have Sue Holderness, who plays Judith Lloyd James. And Sue Holderness, I went down this rabbit hole. I tried to find out if she is related to the Holderness family, who are famous American YouTube stars.
Oh, right.
Who
yeah,
were
yeah.
also on The Amazing Race.
They won.
That's right. That's
Spoilers
right.
Spoilers for The Amazing Race that are now a few years old.
Yeah. And they have all these fun songs. It doesn't seem like they are related. But Sue has lots of credits. Of course, the usual Holby City, EastEnders, Doctors. Interesting tidbits of her as she's done a lot of her career has been spent doing a lot of Alan Ayckbourn plays. She's best known for her character Only Fools and Horses, which went on to its spinoff series, The Green, Green Grass. which ran in the early 2000s, and she regularly appears in pantomime and in the vagina monologues. So
Panto and the vagina monologues.
Yes.
Not at the same time.
No. But yes, also, and she plays, her character, like you said, is an aging actress who's retired to the south of France and trying to make their money go the farthest.
A bit boozy, a bit louche, and just very, kind of that full of themselves, upper crust classy kind of
thing. You're not really sure who they are, but they're sure who they are.
That's exactly correct. And speaking of being sure about who people are, we watched the intro here. I'm going to ring up Jack White and the Holderness family and see if they will star in our American adaptation of this.
Oh, all right. So I would love that.
Let's we're going to make that happen.
Are you going to knock on the doorbell? You're going to ring the doorbell?
Exactly. We're just going
to... Of Jack White?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we'll leave you with that bad joke and we'll be right back with some guessing.
Keep you guessing. Have you ever been to a perfumery or bought perfumed things?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And it was in France.
Oh, yes?
Yes, there was in my high school trip to Paris, France, we stopped at a perfume factory or some like perfume outlet where we toured a little bit and there was a perfume outlet and they had like all the famous perfumes and like off brand, like different labels for it. And so you will remember this. So I got two things at this place. One, I got a bottle of what was a knockoff Chanel number 5 for my mom.
Oh.
My mom, not a big perfume wearer, so I don't think she ever wore it, but mm-hmm. she was very appreciative. And then also I got a bottle of Dracar Noir for myself.
That's right.
Which I
there
so
are other listeners who remember this as well.
Yes. And you threw a party once and I came as a Euro trash and I so slathered myself in that cologne that you made me throw out the shirt.
I think Alyssa was like, come in after you take those clothes off.
Yes. So yes, I have been to a perfumery and now we have been to a perfumery on Madame Blanc Mysteries.
Yay!
So yes, we go on.
I like their packaging.
They had some really good packaging. Yeah, the set deck was great.
It was really cool. Except I was like, that's very familiar. I'm very familiar with the, oh, that's a Happy Meal box.
It was not a Happy Meal box.
Yes, it was. It was just a really beautiful Happy Meal box.
Well, only the best Happy Meals in France, Jessica.
You're right. You're right. Jolie.
Déjeuner jolie.
Yeah.
So, yes. So at the beginning of the episode, we are in a, it's called Ozan. Perfume store, Ozan, mm-hmm. and Cooper. We should explain who Cooper is. So
we said Gloria is the mechanic,
yes.
and the played by the co-writer, co-editor, co-creator of the show. And Cooper is her love interest. Cooper is played by Avant Strangel, or I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. He is an African-American actor. He's a multi-hyphenate performer and a competitive fencer.
Oh, my.
The guy is 6 foot plus.
He was tall. He was taller than the two store owners by a lot.
Yeah, you thought so? Okay.
Maybe not by a lot, but he's definitely taller than that.
Because every time we went back to look at it again, I was like, I don't know, is that counter like super tall and making him look shorter? Because he doesn't, I didn't feel like I was getting
angle.
A whole,
the
angle.
The, when they shot him from above, but if you looked at like, one of the brothers was, so in addition to Cooper buying perfume, he's buying this from a gentleman.
Raymond,
who is behind the counter. Raymond, who has an amazing jacket.
Yeah.
And his brother, Ralph, is it?
Raffi.
So his brother, Raffi, who is sitting down and they're having a little small talk as he's buying the perfume. And then he leaves. And as he's leaving, he's trying to close the door behind him and it sticks a little bit. And he mentions it. He says, hey, this door sticks. And they're like, yeah. And then he leaves. And then Raffi comes over and talks to Raymond. And it's just like, see, they're getting closer. There's this, he's got a newspaper and there's robberies that are happening. And he's like, you're just being paranoid. We've got more security than the Central Bank of France. And so the phone rings. Raymond goes upstairs. Raffi stays downstairs. He goes to the front door. Oh, before he goes to the front door, he takes some money out of the safe.
Well, like, no, not Raymond.
Raffi.
I thought Raffi takes the money out.
Yes, yes. Raymond goes upstairs.
And Raffi.
And then Raffi stays downstairs. And then Raffi takes like two big bundles of money out of a safe and leaves them on the counter. And then he goes to
shut
the door.
Well, he goes to like mark it off. Yeah, like he marks maybe it he's going to go do the deposit.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't see because that the camera, his arm hides.
Yeah, he hides what he's doing. But there's this like leather billfold kind of thing and he's marking it in.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the front door. And as he's going to the front door, you switch to this like security camera footage, black and white security camera footage, which is slightly time lapsed on it. It's got that kind of jerky, like one frame every like half a second as opposed to 30 frames a second kind of feel to it. Mm. And then a robber steps in with a gun and he's wearing he's dressed head to toe in black, including like he's wearing a unitard basically and a Commedia dell'arte mask over his head, which I looked it up. It's El Scaramucci or Scaramouche, which is a highwayman or a brigand.
Oh.
And he's very braggadocious and he usually gets beaten by the Harlequin for being too braggy and stealing things.
Oh,
so he's
so
the
precise.
Villain. Yes. Like this is somebody like the costumer or, wait for my guess, somebody knows enough to put the Scaramouche mask on the person doing the robbing.
Yeah.
Anyways, he comes in with a gun, zip ties Raffi's hands behind him, and then puts duct tape over his mouth and nose.
Yeah.
But doesn't tie his feet. And then, but still somehow, like, Raffi gets plonked in a chair, in the same chair he was sitting in earlier, like, struggles to get up, but somehow can't. Meanwhile, the villain takes the money and walks out, and Raffi's just convulsing in the chair because he can't breathe, and eventually he goes still. And then you cut to regular footage, and Raymond comes back down from upstairs where he was answering the phone, and he sees that Raffi is dead. He finds Raffi dead because he's suffocated with the duct tape over his mouth and nose. And then we go to title sequence at 2:20. So that's what we got. We've got a crime and no ideas, which means it's time for some patented wild guesses.
Yes, yes. So we know from the logline of the episode that Cooper is going to be under suspicion for this.
Right.
But
so we can write him out as
a
suspect.
Yeah, he's a regular. He's not going to do that.
He's not going to do it.
So he's out, thank goodness.
Which leaves the people in the newspaper, Raffi, who's dead, so I don't think he did it.
Yeah.
Or Raymond.
I think Raymond did it.
Really?
Yeah, and I know there will be other people that are in this episode. In
fact,
there are a lot of people in this episode.
Oh, okay.
But I think Raffi did it. I bet there's some back entrance.
Why would he kill his brother?
I don't know. But he wants the money. Like, he should do embezzlement or something else. But
yeah, that'd
for
be a lot
some
easier
reason,
than killing his brother.
He's pocketing the money.
Okay.
Oh, you know what it is? It's because he's actually stealing money at all the other from all the other perfumeries.
Oh, so he has to do it here to like cover his tracks.
Tracks, yeah.
And that's why they're doing so well, because Cooper even says that. Cooper said, "Look, Cooper's buying the perfume." And he's like, "You guys must be doing really well here,"
And Raffi says, "Well, not as well as we would like."
Yeah, but Raymond's like, "Yes, I think you're right. I think
So I took that to mean something different because I thought that Cooper said, you must be doing great at these prices. And I thought that that meant that the prices were inexpensive. And so lots of people were should be coming in to buy things.
But either way, it works to your guess. Because if the prices are, you must be doing great, I think is the important thing, according to your guess. Like you must be doing great either because, and if. Raymond wants to steal money or is stealing money to support their business. That's why it looks like they're doing so great. So either they're doing great, you know what I mean? Like it looks like they're doing great. He's stealing the money to make it look like they're doing great. And he has to steal the money from himself to like avoid casting suspicion on himself.
Yeah, because he's going to go on stealing from other places,
right.
Probably up the road. And he's stolen from other places that are nearby, getting closer.
It would be suspicious.
And it would be suspicious if it skipped over.
Oh, I really like that guess, Herd.
Thank you. thanks for the help. I hadn't figured that out when we sat down. I just was like, I think he did it. And it would account for also how precise he is when he puts the duct tape over Raffi's face.
Yeah.
Because it was really precise.
I have a big problem with this. Like, why Raffi just sits there? Like, his legs and his feet aren't bound. He could stand up and, like, have gone and, like, opened the door and, like his hands could still work. He'd have to turn his back to the door. He could have opened the door and walked down in the street. He could have opened the door and, like, walked up to his brother on the second floor. Like, there are ways that he could have gotten help. I was like, this is I mean, R.I.P. Raffi. You're in our hearts always. We will put on a spritz of perfume.
He had a gun on him, though.
He did have a gun, but then the guy left, and all he did was sit in the chair and struggle, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think part of the reason I think they went to the whole security cam footage is so that they could get away with the whole time lapse thing, so that they could say, oh, he suffocated because it took more time than it actually looks like on the film. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
this way, he didn't suffocate in 30 seconds. I could hold my breath for 30 seconds. No, it was longer, that it took longer for him to actually suffocate. So my problem was not with that. My problem was with, you can still stand up and run. Why aren't you doing that?
Unless it was like a chloroform thing.
Sure, but then why would he be struggling? I'm victim blaming here. What's really happening is that I am victim blaming, and I'm trying to say that Raffi should have done more to save his life, when in reality, we really need to blame the person who actually tried to suffocate him and kill him.
Jacob.
So
who is your guess?
Well, my guess is, I don't know the person's name. I don't think we've met the actual person yet. But my guess is a spurned community theater director.
Do they have amateur theatricals in the south of France?
They must. And
in
they
Saint-Victoire, well, that's the community thing. Theater.
This guy doesn't think he's
amateur. Communauté théâtre. I have such a terrible French accent. Yeah.
So, but no, I do. I think that is a spurned theater director who thinks that he should be. Like, he doesn't think he's community theater. He thinks he's the big time, but he just can't understand why nobody is coming to see his shows, or why he doesn't have any money. So this is a person who knows the Scaramucci mask. He knows his stuff.
Okay.
Like, this is the villain. So he knows that it's a villain. And he also knows that it's somebody who brags a lot. So he's like this community theater director. He thinks he's worth all of this, but nobody can fund his stuff. So he needs the money. Jessica, this Harold Pinter Oscar Wilde mashup isn't going to fund itself. He needs it. He needs that money. So,
I mean,
he's gonna steal from the bourgeois
and
pigs.
And they even have government money, and he still needed more.
That's because he thinks a lot of himself. He needs to really put on the most amazing spectacular he can.
It's unnecessary acrobats is what I'm saying.
There is no such thing as unnecessary acrobats in community theater. If you could get acrobats in your community theater production, you do it. Like, I want to see the, like, Cirque du Soleil community theater acrobat version of The Odd Couple. Like, let's watch them, instead of playing poker, let's see them trying to, like, do, like, different acrobats to, like, win the pot.
Okay.
That's how I want that to be. I want the Pigeon Sisters. I want to see the act that, like, they come in and try to, like, perform for Felix and Oscar.
Oh, okay.
You're telling me that wouldn't be a great production? That would be a great production. Yeah, right? Like a rope act, or a silk act.
So, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Or like balancing or something. Like two people. Or maybe they do the whole like fire a bow and arrow with their feet. I don't care, but I want to see that production. And this man, I'm kind of on this guy's side now. Let him give him that money. Let's see that production. I want to see it.
I just don't know that you need all that guilt. As in, not the like sad feelings, but like... all the guilting, you know, like he's like doing Louis
Gilding the Lily.
Six Soissons.
You're right. Louis XIII.
Louis XIII version of The Odd Couple.
That would also be hilarious.
That has to be done.
That has, like, let's.
I really want to see that, actually.
Oh, my Lord.
I wasn't on board with the acrobat version, but now I'm sorry. I'm into my Molière Odd Couple.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll let you think about that, and we'll go watch the rest of this episode.
See you soon. You're logic copping this?
I'm not logic copping it. There's nothing to logic cop about it. It's just a matter of, like, it's just procedure. Like, not even just procedure. It's like, like, you've created a narrative, so you're not, like, it's the same thing with the, it's the same thing with the maquettes and the dioramas from the Father Brown episode. Like, cops used to come up with a narrative and then only find the evidence to fit the narrative. Whereas now, like, the whole point is that they're supposed to just look at the evidence and then make a narrative around the evidence. What these cops have done is these cops have made their narrative and then are only looking at the evidence around the narrative. So they've got this mask. They've found this mask, and Cooper found the mask, and Cooper has a record from his time in Ohio. So what? Shout out Ohio. Yeah. From Ohio to the south of France. That's a great arc, my friend. Good yes. job, Cooper. You're winning.
Yeah.
But like, but what they've done is like they've created this narrative that, oh, Cooper got a record, found the mask, was in the shop a little bit beforehand buying perfume. He must have been the one to like to do this. And they're willing to charge him and send a man to jail on that. And they haven't even checked the mask for DNA. It isn't until Gene comes in and figures out who did it. By the way, Jessica won. It wasn't until Gene comes in and figures out who did it. You see how I just try to bury that in there, Jessica? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, we're coming back to that. Go ahead.
We'll come back to that. But yes, it wasn't until Gene figures out who did it. Then they have a different narrative. Then they're like, oh yeah, I guess we could like test this for DNA to prove that you did
well,
this.
Well, it would have Cooper's DNA on it too. I mean, they would just have to find Raymond's DNA.
Yes. Yes, because like why would Raymond's DNA, like they would find Raymond's DNA on it, and why would Raymond have any kind of DNA on it whatsoever?
Yeah. And I will say that scent is notably a very ephemeral thing.
Yes.
And so you can't actually, that's not actually evidence, smelling something.
Oh,
so
now,
they had to go
who's
super
logic
fast.
Copying things?
No, I mean, that's why she says we have to go over there right now.
Right, because the scent is going to disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like I've read that scent is an ephemeral thing. I think it was in some article that I read.
Scent is both ephemeral and also deeply affecting and ingrains deep in our memories.
Right, because we learned the olfactory bulb is right next to the hippocampus, which is where we create memories.
Well done, golf clap right? on the hippocampus. That's very
right.
Okay. Done,
and then, yeah. And so since they're so close together, it's assumed that scent and memories are very closely knit.
Which, by the way, for a French show, or it's a British show, but it's set in France, for a mystery show talking about scents and memories in France, and they didn't bring up Proust's Madeleines.
Oh, like, you're right.
Poor form.
They just didn't have anybody for that. I mean, Jean would have probably been the person to mention Proust.
Jean would have been the, yeah, Dom
no.
is not a Proust.
I mean, he
Proust
says
kind of guy.
In the episode that he was actually a very poor student.
Yes.
And he had, I loved it. He was like, yeah, I had all kinds of excuses. And Jean says, example, please.
A bird stole my dad's cigarette and dropped it on my homework and it lit on fire. That was
brilliant.
That was a brilliant excuse, which was apparently real.
Real.
That's, he claimed it was real. But again, if he was coming up with an excuse. But we have delayed long enough.
Yes.
I think the thing to mention, Jessica,
yeah.
Yes, here are your flowers. You have won. You did it right this week. Only you and Jindam Richard apparently took this case seriously.
The only person I hadn't researched.
Jindam Richard, she was a badass in the very first episode when she was like...
She's a firecracker.
She is a firecracker. She's taken no guff from anybody and she is intense and I'm all for it. So give us a little bit of information about Jindam Richard.
Yes, Jindam is played by Jacqueline Berces.
Ooh, what a great French name.
Berces.
Yeah.
She has a French passport and is authorized to work in the U.S., I don't know how all of that happens. And she's in a British show somehow. I don't know.
Rack up those air miles.
She is and she can do accents, of course. British, French, General American.
General American?
Yeah, yeah. She has studied. She is 5'1", very tiny.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Ballerina as well.
Oh.
And she has some credits of
great.
Various TV and films. Not a lot. She's at the beginning of her career.
She needs her own spinoff. That's what she needs right here. I bet she has a bitchin' car. I bet she's a street racer. I bet she has like, she's like big into Fast and Furious or like those Jason Statham movies where he's the like transport. It's the transporter, I think his name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I bet she's big into those. And I bet she has this like car that she just like whips around those roads in south of France.
Yeah, keep an eye out for her. Jacqueline Berset.
Okay.
Or says.
Yes. And she's, I would trust her to capture Raymond. So tell us about, tell us a little bit about Raymond.
Yes. Yeah, so Raymond is played by Iwens Abid, who is a, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but he is a French actor of Algerian descent. Mm-hmm. He was born in Territoire de Belfort in France. He is fluent in both English and French, and he trained, he had a BA acting international course at the East 15 Acting School. I've never heard of that. That's the first one for me. He's done TV. He's done crime. He played a waiter in Emily in Paris. And he was in Tuesday. And lately he was in, just recently he was in The Last Rifleman, which is a film.
Oh, okay.
So he's at the beginning of his career, but great, great stuff for his reel in this episode.
You know what else he's done?
What?
He did it.
He did it.
He did
it. That's right. I won. Okay, we already celebrated that, but I did. He
you get to
did
celebrate lots. You
want to? Yeah, and but not for the reasons I thought, which
yes
would have been really good.
But you were close, though. You basically you were just like he needed the money to pay off his debt, and that is exactly what needed to happen. So, the story is that he and his twin brother inherited the shop from his mother, but he was always the second favorite child, and he grew jealous, and the other brother wouldn't let them sell this ambergris, which would pay off all of their debts. So yeah, he did it to collect the money and pay off his debt and maybe be the one in charge of everything now and be able to do things. And one of the best clues, this was great. So he did it. He went upstairs, changed his clothes, put on the mask, came in, smothered his brother, came back around, discovered his brother, and that's when he knew his brother would die in 30 seconds. Because I talked about this, like how who's going to die in 30 seconds? Well, apparently his brother had a thing called hypoxia or
hypoxemia.
Anyways, low oxygen blood levels. So he knew that, like, if he stopped his brother from breathing for 30 seconds, he would die. So he did.
Yeah, I didn't think that he would. He was actually doing it purposefully, but he was.
That was it. Yeah, he literally did. He wasn't just there to rob. He was there purposely to murder.
Yeah.
So
he was. Rafi was not letting him do the things that he wanted to do in order to save the shop,
which was
and to get them out of debt. Yeah, and he just didn't like that. I so crazy to me that he actually killed his brother.
Yeah, well, you know, like tale is old as time.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, anyways, after that, he and by the like, also, I was just like, who's gonna see this person going out into the like courtyard? How come nobody saw them? And this was again a later piece of evidence. Like nobody actually can corroborate your story because nobody else saw the robber head out there.
Yeah.
Anyways, he went out, took the mask, buried the mask. Cooper, Gloria's paramour.
Yeah.
Cooper found it, and then he was accused of the murder, and Gene figured
well,
it out.
Well, he didn't find it. The dog
the
dug
dog
it up
it. Yes,
because the dogs, like, they actually like ambergris. They like the smell of it. They're attracted to it.
Yeah,
and
which
so when Douglas, the dog, smelled it in the ground,
he dug it up.
And yeah, and then he liked it because Americans like Halloween.
Yes, yes, that's exactly
why Cooper kept it.
Americans like Halloween. Just reminded me of Halloween. Yes, I love that. That is how the French view Americans.
A Camille Delart mask appealed to an American.
And
and then another mask, a parallel mask.
Oh my
in
God,
the
this was a genius parallel mask in this episode. So, in order to find out, like,
Judith.
Judith. Oh my God.
Judith and Jeremy.
There are a lot of J's in this. Judith and Jeremy and Jean.
Oh, you're right.
There's so many J's. Like, reading the script must be so confusing. In any event, Judith is just horrified at Jeremy for getting her cheap perfume, which he insists he got from Ozan's, but it smells cheap to her. So Judith brings over Dom and Jean to smell the perfume and decide who is right or not.
Yes, and Jean can't really tell the difference.
Jean can't tell it, but Dom can.
Damn, yeah, Dom.
Good job, Dom.
I was like, damn. No,
damn, Dom.
Good job, good job. Yeah, he says, well, the one smelled nice, and the other one smelled like toilet air freshener.
Yes.
such a great. And Judah says, yes, I think I would have worked on your description, but absolutely, you have a fabulous nose. She doesn't crimp on her or skimp on her compliments,
no,
on
she
her
does
praise.
Not. And she wears an amazing maxi dress in that scene.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I want to be them when we grow up. Can we just be just like delightfully like just delightfully loony, living rich in the south of France when we grow up.
But she's the worst.
She's not the
worst. In an earlier episode, she comes into, or Jeremy calls her into the living room because he has wrapped up the gift wants to give her and says, I'm going to give you a gift, so I'm going to take you out to lunch. And he calls her in and she stumbles in because she's wearing this huge mask.
It's like a hockey goalie mask on this.
It's like
the Jabberwockies. It's a full face mask like the Jabberwockies, and there's like light UV light pulsing from it. It's
because
hilarious.
That is, in fact, you can find it on Amazon, a Pure Daily Care Luma mask, home skin for rejuvenation and anti-aging light therapy.
I love it.
It is $90.
Easily affordable for them.
Yes. So she's wearing that
and
stumbling through
comedy.
The living room as she's like knocking into everything on her way out. And she says, well, where are we going to go? And he says, well, I was just thinking the croissant. She says, okay, that's fine. I just can't go to the country club because I don't get my collagen fillers until Tuesday. Then she stumbles out of the room.
It's lovely. I love them to bits. They are great.
Yes. Yeah, that was really fabulous. The two really great scenes. Oh, but we had two other really great scenes.
Well, yes. I think I know where you're going with this. But I also want to say, like, this was a short episode. This was it felt short. And the reason it felt short was because of these two other scenes, which is the other thing that was going on parallel to all of this in this episode, is that we finally capture Barbara.
Yay!
Barbara, the woman who killed Rory and is trying to kill
Jean. She's the villain.
She's the villain. Oh, and she is delightfully unhinged.
Oh my gosh, she is.
Like, there is so much scenery chewing in this episode. It's fantastic.
Dom called her a right nutter. And I was like, yes, she is a freaky villain.
She literally cackles.
Yes.
She cackles when she's found out.
She is dastardly.
They find her out, they capture her, and she cackles. She's just like, you'll never prove any of this. I'll get away with this, you kids. And then you find out that Simone, this other character, was wearing a wire and all the evidence is there. I can't wait to find out how she gets out of this, because of course she's going to get out of this. But
yes,
it was just, it's like, literally she cackled and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But the other thing about this is we do these episodes and we look for ones that are highly rated.
Yes.
Because we're like, oh, these must be the best episodes, which is why we do a sad Murdoch episode, because that's highly rated. And that's why we did this one, because it was so highly rated. Well, the mystery in this one, not so amazing. Like, it was a really, like, there was like maybe one twist in this, one clue that wasn't right there. But
yeah, so I guess like not big on Christie's.
Yeah, but still a great episode.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. I have said this before, and I just want to make this really clear. Like, the Christies are just a measure of complexity. They are not a measure of quality.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's just how baroque was the mystery. This was not a baroque mystery.
Correct.
That's what we're going for here. The Christies just measure baroqueness.
Yes, yeah. Great thing to say. Great delineation, because I thought the direction was great on this episode. The costumes and the hair and makeup are fabulous.
Costumes and hair and makeup are always fabulous in these.
Yeah. I mean, I love Jean's, all of her kimonos, which are the beautiful prints. So nice. Dermot Boyd is the director, and he directs all their episodes. I think he's an Irish director, and I think he met them on Mount Pleasant, actually.
Ah, that would track.
Yeah, and he has British comedy, he has drama in his background, so he does it all. And I mean, come on, they're in Malta.
It's gorgeous. And you know what? It's not. It's Romanesque. It's not Baroque. It's Romanesque, anyways. So there you go. Mm.
They
don't need anymore.
Gosh, I mean the lighting and the scenery, like, the buildings just glow.
Yes, they really do.
time of day they could just shoot all day long because everything just glows like the golden hour.
Yeah, everything glows like the golden hour, and everything is acting as like one of those like nice diffuse reflectors. Like, yes. There's just such diffuse, beautiful light everywhere. So, I mean, you know what? We're saying this as if they just like turned their cameras on and like, look at all this beautiful diffuse light. I am sure that
Of course. That's work. It's still work.
Good job, gaffers. Good job, grips, and everybody making it all look good on them. I'm sure they're like, yeah, the sun did all of that. I'm really glad I'm getting paid for the sun's work over here. You did good work. I appreciate it. But you did. You made it look fabulous.
Yes. Captured all of it.
So, well, we captured a win this week, and congratulations. Don't let it get to your head, Herd.
I will stay humble, good. I promise, but yeah. Right now I'm going to have some victory ice cream.
There we go. All right. Well, we're going to go enjoy some ice cream, and we'll leave you until next time. And until then,
we'll leave you guessing.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
And now we want to hear from you.
Tell us your guesses, your scores, and your suggestions for what shows we should watch next.
Go to our website, cluedunitpodcast.com, or email us at cluedunitpodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram and Facebook at cluedunitpodcast, or on Twitter at cluedunit.
And if you like the podcast, please rate us and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcast to help us get the word out, and maybe you'll hear your review read on the show.
Want to be a CluedUnit private investigator? Leave us a few bucks at CluedUnitPodcast.com and we'll send you a personalized, official CluedUnit private investigator license.
Officially approved by the totally fake Podcasting Adjudication Board in their secret headquarters in a mountain outside of Squamish.
We hope to hear from you soon,
because watching TV is always better with friends.
You're like, I'm not going to say nothing because I know you're recording and I know that my bloopers end up in the end of the show.
What was I supposed to say?
Give me some content, Herd. We need funniness for the end of the episode.
Alan! Alan!
Grandma, we miss you. We miss you. Alan!